Hi, this is Bill Troy, CEO of Civilis Marketing, and I'm talking today with Derek Champagne about my new book, Clicksand, How Online Marketing Will Destroy Your Business.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. We do that by interviewing amazing guests who can have the experience and can share with us their insight of how they've run their business, their valleys, their peaks, and what they've learned along the way. I want to take a moment and talk with anyone who is having any challenges with their branding or with building an effective marketing campaign. I'm super excited that my wife Valerie and I have a new marketing course, an online course, which is a certificate program, a two-week course that we share all of our secrets for building an effective brand, and for building a marketing campaign that works and takes all the guesswork out of your marketing, provides an action plan, and gives recommendations for marketing tactics that actually get results. You can learn more at champagnemarketingcourses.com. Our guest today is Bill Troy. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks.
I'm excited to get into the topic. I'm in the marketing field myself, so I'm pretty excited. Yeah. You're an author, marketing consultant, contrarian. I love that word. I know we'll get into that more. I'm excited. Let's read your bio here. An Inc. 500 CEO and a natural born contrarian who for 25 years has helped global brands such as Sony, Disney, Nestle to see the world from a different perspective. Your forthcoming book, Clicksand, How the Pitchmen of Online Marketing Suck You In and Ruin Your Business, is an explosive wake-up call and warning for business owners about the dangers and hypocrisy in online marketing. You compare giant firms like HubSpot, Google, and LinkedIn, as well as local agencies and consultants, I hope in the online world, in towns big and small, to snake oil pitchmen of the 1800s. Let's jump right in. Tell me about the contrarian side, because I love the rebel side of things. Tell me about being a contrarian.
You know, that's a lifelong pursuit of mine. I was just thinking that, you know, Mr. Rinker, the principal at my junior high would confirm that I was contrarian even back then. So I always challenge authority, challenge assumptions and say, okay, no, prove that to me. I don't know if I'm just going to take that at face value. And that's a lifelong journey I've been on that's, led all the way to this book. So
I love it. And I want to get into it more. My book is Don't Buy a Duck. Stop wasting money and do marketing that works. And my focus is on not taking things just because of the new shiny object, but to do your due diligence in understanding your brand, understanding your why, understanding your customers, understanding yourself, your unique value proposition, and so on. So I love that you are talking about this. Please elaborate for me. Let's jump right into your book because I haven't gotten to read it yet, but it's on the top of my list. Tell me your inspiration behind it.
Yeah, so you and I are very aligned, and that's why I was excited to be on with you, because I think some of the things you said are right on, that so many businesses today are starting with the shiny object of online marketing. And when I say online marketing, I'm kind of dumping it all in there, right? It's email marketing, it's content marketing, it's inbound, SEO, AdWords, whatever. And in a way, they're starting by grabbing a tool and saying, we need some of that. And then they're a hammer going around looking for nails to whack. And they just get way off track with that. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, what really got me fired up, and this is where the contrarian part of me comes out, is that I think it's being fed a lot by what I call pitchmen who are trying to make a buck and selling because it's hot. They're selling get rich quick. They're selling a panacea that this will solve whatever business problem you have, whatever sales problem you have. And it's just not true. And I go through in the book a lot of detail about how to debunk a lot of that stuff. But that's the bottom line, is that I think businesses are falling for a snake oil, get rich quick, easy fix, take a pill and get customers in your inbox kind of thing. Mm. And I'm just kind of like trying to slap them and say, whoa, wake up, hang on, this is not true.
Well, and I'm so glad you're pointing this out. And again, I'm in the line of work that you're in, and there's not a time that I open my social media, several different ones, where I'm not being pitched encouraged by the next great thing. It's some kind of funnel. It's and they look great, and they've got a lot of views, and they've got a lot of, and it's just, and I've seen it happen more and more every day, every week. So is that some of what you're referring to?
Oh yeah. In fact, I'm trying to smash funnels everywhere I can find them. I mean, I think it's just, it's a simplified view of the universe that seems so great when you see it on a slide and some breathlessly excited pitchman is up there in front of the room, ripping through slides every 3 seconds, talking about how they're going to do this. They're going to open this. They're going to click and they're going to download. They're going to send the form, and you're going to send them an email, and all of a sudden you're going to get $1 million in your info. It's just ludicrous when you start really examining it. And I go through so many things to really prove that point. The first one I'll put out there right now is that, and you know this too, Derek, I'm sure, when people come in and talk to you that have been doing online marketing and they're doing it in a way that doesn't make any sense, you say, what are you doing? You start examining how they fell for this, right, and you'll find out that they bought it from a person, you know, a local consultant or, you know, so, and what they find is, what I find is that online marketers know in many cases it doesn't work, because they don't even sell that way.
Right.
You know, they sell with an in-person pitch. Even if you put in with one of the giant companies, you put in $50 into LinkedIn and start an account, your phone will ring in minutes with a helpful person to guide you through the process, because they have to get a human involved to sell this stuff. And they're going to tell you, you don't have to have a human involved to do your sales, but they do. And it just goes on and on with so many things that are just nonsensical that many business owners are kind of in denial, because they just have this dream that it's just going to work so easy and seamlessly. I don't have to talk to anyone. I can just click and make money. It's just, it's something that people are just falling for.
I love that you're pointing this out. And a couple things, and I love how succinctly you're describing it. And I'm glad that you're the contrarian and you're paving the way in a very bold way. I appreciate it. This might become recommended or required reading before we work with a new client. Because a couple things. One is the broken trust that stands out to me. And I know you talk about that. We deal with that often as an agency. Because they've gone with an online marketing or had some kind of misleading experience and then lumped it all together that it's all the same. And that concerns me as well.
Yeah. And they think, they don't realize that it's that they shouldn't have been doing online marketing. Our business at Civilis Marketing is probably a lot like yours. We have a parade and we're really focused in the online space. So I know you're much more of a full service agency. So you're doing TV and radio and all sorts of things. Right. But we have this parade of companies coming into us saying, oh, yeah, I heard you talking about how online marketing is bad. So here's what we've been doing. Can you help us fix this? And they slide some sort of, you know, HubSpot report across the table to me to help me find the metric in there that's the magic one that's going to fit. And I'm like, wow. Yeah, I'll tell you how to fix it. Stop doing it. I mean, it's just crazy that they just are so sold on this idea by whoever the pitchman is that sold it to them that they just can't even think about it. And they really have to go back. And I'm sure this is what you do, too. They have to go back and really think about what their business is really all about, and more importantly, what their customer's life is all about. Right. And it's very rare that a business has a customer who is sitting there with nothing to do, Googling, or sitting there hoping to get one more spam email in their box to read and really digest. And it's just, you know, businesses send out this stuff all day long and post this stuff all day long. We all hate getting it, yet somehow we think it's going to be great when we do it.
Again, I love that you're addressing this, and you've packaged it in such a great way. I'm happy for you and jealous that I didn't think of it this way, but I'm so excited that you did it. And there, you can't 100, and you'll delve in this better than I will, but we've been talking recently, especially for some of our localized kind of brick and mortar companies, that they don't need to completely go to this digital funnel when their neighbors are right there next to them. There's a balance, and you can't 100% replace your relationships and your story.
Yeah. If you need a human relationship, and I just say, for example, if you have to have a handshake as part of your selling process, actually physical handshake, then run away from this online stuff, because you're not going to get to the point of having that. You're going to be doing things that are breaking rapport with people and treating them like they don't matter. My favorite is when I get email newsletters like you do, where there's an article in there or even the headline that says, you know, we treat every customer special. We get to know you on a one-to-one basis if you work with us. Yet this is an email they sent to 3,000 people, right? Like, well, when is that actually going to happen in the process? I mean, I was fired up because I was listening to some of your past episodes, because I love to follow what you're talking about. And I heard you on with John Rossman and, you know, the Amazon Way book series guy. And John said a line that I wrote down, do the hard thing for the customer. And this is something that nobody does anymore. And the pitchmen tell you, you don't have to do, right? Tell you that the customer has to do something hard for you. The customer has to click. The customer has to inquire. The customer has to give you their email address before you give them the time of day. So if you're starting with a relationship like that, where you're treating them like they don't matter, like you don't care about them as individuals, and you think somehow you're going to turn that around later and have a deep, long-term relationship with them, it's just ludicrous, but seems so attractive.
Are you seeing that those that do convert, if they're not investing in the things that you're gonna tell some things, I'm sure, in a few minutes about how to be more effective that way, because that's what your agency does. Yeah. Are you seeing a higher churn rate when they're just doing an acquisition on numbers and bringing them in without building that relationship?
I don't even see a churn. We don't even see them having success. It's not like they're getting clients. What we see is that, in fact, one of the things I talk about, and I put chapter 5 from the book, the damage chapter, that talks about all the ways that businesses are actually damaged by this, because I don't believe it's just benign and inert and something you can try on the side. I think this online marketing stuff is so seductive that businesses start to modify their company to fit it when it isn't working. And so we see companies start to change their offerings to offer light versions and free trials and samples and all sorts of things. And what they're doing is they're chasing it down to the least common denominator. And so they end up getting leads that aren't even a fit for them. And they start trying to then modify their business to fit smaller leads and less perfect leads. And instead, what we say is, hold on, you're chasing this all the way down. You know, one of the great lines a friend of mine said was that only minnows get through a funnel. And so once you start using a funnel, you're going to start to change your business. And we run into business owners all the time and have a whole construct. They have a story to explain why minnows are in smaller, higher volume is going to change their business. Like, no, you just come up with an excuse to try to do this in your pajamas at night without having to get out and see anybody. And you're not fooling anyone. So you've got to go back and, like John said, do the hard thing for the customer. And guess what? Maybe you can get bigger customers. You can scale up by getting larger and more profitable customers instead of this high volume thing that just in the end doesn't work.
And we know that the platform can work. And you'll tell us that in a minute. I know that for our agency, now it's shifting, but I think 70% of our business in the last 6 months has come from LinkedIn. And so we know that it does work if done correctly. So, and that's what your agency does. So tell us the good news though, because we know that being able to do the targeting and some of the things that are good about the new technology, how do we use them then and marry them into a marketing mix that makes sense with the digital side?
Yeah. So I think that it really comes down to the life of your customer. What do they need in order to feel comfortable buying from you? And that list is different for every industry and everything that's sold. And it goes all the way from the simplest stuff. I mean, I only need a couple of things from Amazon for me to buy, a book or a pair of shoes or whatever. Okay, I know the brand, I know the size. I don't need a lot of information and I don't need a lot of a relationship with them. And in your case, you probably have people who are looking for an agency that's professional and certainly it's local to them or has some expertise in what they need. So that's enough of a relationship. But when you start to get into things where a real deep relationship is necessary, let's just throw out there an example. Let's say you're Boeing and you're selling 747s. I mean, you have to have years worth of relationship with those people. So the list is very different for every company. And so the more that's a personal human one-to-one relationship where you have to treat that customer individually and maybe you have to develop rapport and trust with them well before they need to buy what you sell, if they're going to take a big risk, if they're risking their career by switching ERP systems or, whatever it is that you sell, if it's really complicated, then you start to have to move toward a one-to-one personal interaction with them and you can't get away with this, mass stuff. So there's mass advertising that still works, TV commercials still work, billboards still work. And maybe, in that case, promoting and publishing yourself on LinkedIn still works. But when you start to get into something where you need a real important, deep relationship with them, and so that's really what we talk with a lot of businesses about is when it's B2B, for example, long selling cycle, long relationship, it's just never going to work. We had a guy, one other quick anecdote. I had a guy call me the other day who said, okay, I want to do AdWords. And I said, okay, what do you do? And so he said, well, we do air processing equipment for factories. I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting and specialized. What's your typical sale? He said, well, our typical sale size is about $1 million. I'm like, wow, okay, great. So that's obviously a really long selling cycle and we build relationships. And he goes, yeah, I want to buy some AdWords. And we need probably 2 leads a month. And I have about $1,000 a month to spend on AdWords. Can you tell me what keywords are working? I'm like, hold on, go back. You said you want to spend $1,000 a month and you're going to get $2 million in sales from that. you know, again, wake up. He just thinks that it's just magical. But obviously the sale he's making is something that it takes a long time to get to put into place. Relationships he has to have for years and years and years, probably before the factory is even built for whatever procurement. And so to think just you're going to buy some AdWords and it's going to happen is just ludicrous. So that's a lot of the stuff that's happening. But I'm sure whoever was going to sell him those ads told him it would be great. We're just going to lose those long tail keywords for factory automation equipment, and that'll get you. And like, come on. It's just so there's just so much, you know, hyperbole around all this. And we're, I'm just trying to get business owners to stop falling for it and really think of their own business about whether it's the right thing.
I love it. So, I mean, you've given us the bad news, and it's also good news, though. It's good news as well. So for those who are going, great, well, you just scared the heck out of me. So now what then? Because I thought everything was going digital, and you know, and so now what? Give us some good news.
Yeah. So I think that if you think about what's always worked for your business, whatever that is, and that's where we go back to a lot, is the original model for the business. Maybe the business has been around before the internet, before cell phones, and maybe you know how you used to sell driving around with stuff, you know, samples in the trunk of your car. Whatever the model is, you can then what we do is we rebuild that and figure out how to do that in the modern world. So let's use LinkedIn as an example. We've been kind of hammering on them, but so maybe if you have a, you know, I've got enough gray hair on my head that I can tell you I used to travel around and do sales before the internet, before cell phones, where you actually just stopped in randomly to a business and asked if the manager was in, and they came out and they said hi, and you went back and talked in their office for a few minutes. But one of the things you did when you went back in that office was you immediately looked at the walls, right? There's a fly fishing photo, there's the Notre Dame diploma, whatever. And guess what you start talking about first? That, not my company provides top level services for companies in need of whatever. So that was just a normal, natural thing that you learned to do to be successful when you were trying to build rapport with a potential client. And then you'd send them a note later when Notre Dame won or lost, and you sort of built that relationship over time. Well, that's still possible today. I mean, we're all focused on massive amounts of sending emails or, you know, massive amounts of traffic to our website. But wait a minute. That prospect, that manager, has their LinkedIn profile up online that shows they went to Notre Dame and might, you know, talk about on Facebook that they went fly fishing. So you could still get the same information. You could still build the same relationship with them using digital tools today. Right. It's the same relationship they needed then that they need now. And so if you just start thinking about what they need and how to use tools to get that done, then suddenly it all makes sense. You know whether you need a hammer or a screwdriver and what you're trying to accomplish versus the salesman for the software coming in and telling you, let's buy a list of people with a certain title and we'll start sending them an email. No, you start with the way your business works and then use the tools to fit that. And then it all starts to make sense.
That makes so much sense. And again, we are very aligned in our thinking on the common sense approach and putting the human element back into marketing. I mean, we've even brought back in, say, even we're back to doing street teams again for visiting some of our neighbors because they've forgotten about that. And they're doing some of these online campaigns and their neighbors right across the street. So, and again, we make integrated campaigns and we do utilize the digital side and the paper calls and the AdWords and when appropriate. But let me tell this to the people that are sending LinkedIn spam messages and all that I got this month. Please stop, because you're ruining it for me, because LinkedIn works very well for our agency. And when we're getting spam that way, it's just diluting the effectiveness of us being relevant. So Bill, tell us more. Give us a couple of real world examples, if you don't mind, examples of how you've been able to marry this common sense and understanding your target and going with that old school sales mentality or building relationships mentality, and then bringing it to the digital age.
Yeah. So another great example is, you know, understanding the value of a relationship. You put a lot of work into a relationship, and we find all the time that businesses are throwing them away and going after people they don't know. So, for example, if you have any sort of service business or maybe even a software business, I mean, you've worked with lots of companies over the years, and those companies may or may not still be clients, but you work with a lot of people in those businesses. Well, those people may have gone on to other companies. And what we find is that you can eat, of course, with LinkedIn and whatever modern tools are available, you can easily find where they went. They don't disappear, right? In the old days when you were driving around, you might not know where the manager went to work when they left, right? But now you can see exactly where people go to. And we find all the time that our clients are going out and buying some list of managers with a certain title, you know, in the industry that they've never met. Meanwhile, they're not following up with the people that they already know, they already spent all kinds of time with, that know them and love them. And they've just, they don't even follow them. They don't even follow them to congratulate them on a new job. Maybe LinkedIn will tell them to click a button, but they don't send a real message. And I'll give you one other one that we recommend to clients all the time. And I do this personally. There are people in this industry that I've worked with that have been clients, and occasionally they're between jobs. They might have decided to leave, or the company changed, or whatever. And at that moment, I've been there. When I was younger, I was unemployed before I decided I'm going to take control of my life and start my own business. And so I know that no one will talk to you during that time because you can't buy anything from them and you just want a job. So you know what? I reach out to them every single time. And I reach out and say, how are you doing? Let's connect. Let's just talk. Tell me what's going on. What are you trying to do? Maybe I can help them. Maybe I can't. But all of a sudden, they know I'm reaching out to them because I like them and I care about them, which I do. And I told them that the whole time when we worked together, but it was like, well, it was fake and plastic because they're a customer. And of course, I'm going to say that. Now I get a chance to prove it right then. And guess what happens? When they get a job next and go become an EVP at the next company they're going to work for. So if you look at it as a person that you're trying to build and maintain a relationship with over time, these tools can be incredibly powerful. And think about the people you do have a relationship with. Keep working those and keep paying attention to those people, and don't throw them away going after some anonymous thing where you don't even know the people. It's like, you know, think about it. One of my people on my team get mad when I say this because it's kind of crass, but quit acting like you want to get lucky and start acting like you want to get married, right? Quit with the pickup lines, the tricks to get people to open something, and start thinking about them as a person you want to have a long-term relationship with. It's a business relationship, but still, you've got to care and show you care. So look for those opportunities, and all of a sudden, you'll so stand out because no one else is doing it.
Yeah, I love your approach. I really do, and I completely stand behind you on the building relationships that way. But what about the person that says, well, that's great, but I need scale and automation? Is there a marrying of that personal relationship and the caring in a way that you can still scale and have some automation to reach more people?
So you said several words there, and I have some real problem with some of the words that people throw around, because I don't think scale and automation always go together. For example, I say constantly to our people and to our clients that there's a belief in the world that process and automation are synonyms. And they're not. Automation is one way to do a process. Okay. I am a huge believer in process as a way to scale. You have to have a repeatable, scalable, predictable, you know, repeatable process to build any business. But when you think immediately of automating it, that starts to treat everything in the process the same. Mm-hmm. And if you have customers who need to be treated individually, which is going to be your bigger customers, automation will send you to the bottom with the least common denominator. So don't always think of automation. Think of scale. So maybe you need to put some humans into the process, right? But then if you do that, guess what? You can get bigger customers, and you can still have it be repeatable and scalable. We spend a lot of time with our clients at Civilis Marketing. We call it relationships. And one of the things that we do is help them understand that relationships, many business owners think of relationships as something that is accidental. It happens because I just treat people right, or it just feels right to do that. And what we say is, no, relationships can be processized. You can make an exact list of the things that need to be accomplished in any relationship. Whether it's they need to know that you're trustworthy, or they need to have some event happen for them to need what you sell, whatever it is. And then you can specifically do things to make that happen in that relationship. So it isn't just accidental. We're not just saying just be nice to people and send them birthday greetings. No, you could be very purposeful about it. And that's how you scale up. You know, the smartest companies in the world, if you look at the folks like Anderson Consulting or somebody like that, they understand they're building relationships to build their business. They don't throw away relationships when they have them and someone goes to another company, and they don't need to be doing, you know, AdWords to try to get companies that are Googling looking for, you know, a consultant. Right. But they have a rigid, specific process. They know where they're at in the stage of relationship with every single person. And so you have to know what the process is to get the relationship you need. And it's more or less complicated depending on your industry, but know what that is and then use tools to get that done. It could be a handwritten note card. It could be, you know, sending them a note that you're thinking about them. It could be asking if their mom's all right after the hurricane in Houston. You know, whatever it is, if you have that checklist, you'll see those things happen and you'll be ready to do it.
Thank you for that clarification. That's great advice.
Yeah.
And each thing you're putting a human element in, you're treating the customer in a relationship and not as a number and not rolling them through a funnel. And I love that. So let's talk about your book before we go. I want to spend a couple more minutes on this. Has this book been released yet?
It's coming out in February. So if you're listening to this after February, yes, but not if you're listening before that.
Well, you're building up some anticipation. I love that. Give us, what can we expect? I know how the pitchmen of online marketing suck you in and ruin your business. That sounds like I want to read every word of that. I'm really excited about it. But I also know that you have a silver lining at the end of this. So tell me, what can the reader expect when they read this book? What are they going to get out of it?
Yeah, there are three big sections of the book. First one is it really, I break it down. I actually compare the way that online marketers are selling today to snake oil salesmen of the 1800s. I mean, and actually go back to the original story of snake oil from the World's Fair of Chicago in 1893 and show you that the pitch is exactly the same. I mean, Clark Stanley sold snake oil to people who are suffering from arthritis just the way online marketers sell to business owners that have sales pain today. So I break that down so you can see it, so you can recognize, wait a minute, this is one of those pitches. Okay. Then the second part of the book, I go through and explain, okay, a lot of people are selling snake oil. Everybody's trying to sell stuff. And why is this working so well? Why are so many people falling for it? So I go through and talk about a lot of societal things that are going on that are helping this one along. You know, the fact, for example, that we've all become so used to the internet and the fact that there seems to be a billion people on the internet, and you can always find more people. And so we've started to think of our own customers in kind of an adversarial, anonymous traffic kind of way versus when we walked in and saw them in person and knew them as Jack and Tina. Mm-hmm. Now we just see them as, you know, CMOs or CXOs or whatever, right? So, mm-hmm. So there's just an internetization, if you will, of the selling process to start just thinking of customers in a bad way. And then I also talk about how there's a lot of stuff built into the online marketing tools and selling process that takes advantage of how our brains work. There are things built into here that work exactly when you look at the dashboards that they put in place on HubSpot or AdWords or whatever. Those dashboards are built. And as a market researcher, so my background for 20 years has been in market research before I got into this space. And so I know that they do focus groups with customers to find out what customers love about the product. And I know that they're building in dashboards full of data. I mean, there are hundreds of reports in those things. Right. You don't need all that. You know what that is? That's sugar and salt that got added to the fast food to make them sell more hamburgers. And they're putting that in there because business owners love dashboards and love data. And it's not good for them at all. It leads them astray. They start chasing stupid little metrics that don't make any sense. And it's one of the things that sucks them in. And then the third section of the book is what you should do instead. And it's a lot of what we were just talking about, which is going back and starting from your customer side of the table. What has to happen in their life? And then build your business around that and build your marketing and sales around that. And then at the end, if it ends up to be that, you know, online marketing tools are right for whatever purpose that is, great. Once you know what you're building and you've got a good architectural plan and then you grab the hammer, great. But don't start with a hammer and then start running around looking for nails thinking it's a great deal. So it's really at the end goes back and talks about how your business works, how their buying works, and building your business around that.
Excited to read this book. Can't wait for it to come out. Bill, is there any parting words that you want to share? Any last advice with our listeners?
Well, so if people want to get some information now, for sure, find out what's happening and how it's working with them right now. I've got a page I put up for listeners, for Business Leadership Series listeners at ClickSand, which is the book title, clicksand.net/leadership. The damage chapter 5, goes through all the things we're just talking about in detail about how it's damaging businesses. And a lot of what I'm trying to do there, I find that business owners today feel like they're out of touch. That there's a younger generation that quote unquote gets this and that they've kind of handed this off to them and they're letting those folks run with it. And this is designed to help the business owner go, oh, wait a minute. I need to get back involved here because they're running us off the rails. And I do know how my business works and I do know how my customers work. And I need to make sure we're not losing track of that and doing things that just are not true to our values. So the damage chapter is available for everybody. They can go download that. And there's a discount coupon if they want to get the book when it comes out. And then of course, if anything else resonates with folks and they want to talk to me more, there's a way to do that as well on that page.
Awesome. Bill Choi, thank you so much. Marketing consultant, contrarian, love it. And his forthcoming book, ClickSand, How the Pitchmen of Online Marketing Suck You In and Ruin Your Business. He has some great psychology in there. He talks about the original early pitchmen, the snake oil pitchmen. I know that has those local digital agencies and online agencies squirming when they hear that, because nobody wants to be compared to a snake oil pitchman of the 1800s. I love it. It paints such a visual. But then he's got some solutions in there, and they're common sense, great solutions. I completely support the direction. I haven't read it yet, and I love it. It seems to align with my philosophy in Don't Buy a Duck as well, and I'm excited to build to see how you built on that, especially with your background and your experience. You were kind enough to provide a chapter of your book, clicksand.net/leadership. Bill, Troy, thank you so much for being our guest, and we look forward to reading that book when it comes out in a couple months.
Absolutely. Fantastic to be here. Thanks, Derek.
I want to invite you to join me in supporting the American Diabetes Association. I've got the honor of being a Kiss a Pig candidate this year, which means I have the opportunity to help raise money for the American Diabetes Association locally. The research, the ADA has been funding initiative and innovative research to combat diabetes since 1955. And in 2011, they funded more than $35.75 million a year in research at 139 research institutions across the country. The statistics, approximately 1.25 million American children and adults have type 1 diabetes. As many as 1 in 3 American adults will have diabetes in 2050 if present trends continue. You can learn more at diabetes.org or stopdiabetes.com to see how you can get involved.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.